Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
We are inviting people to be part of this conversation.
We have all different opinions. Not everybody agrees with everybody.
Sometimes using art therapy, sometimes just conversations from community organizing, appreciative inquiry, those kind of things. Sometimes it just looks like a Bible study.
A liturgical, Christocentric, social justice-oriented, queer-inclusive, incarnational, contemplative, irreverent, ancient future church with a progressive but deeply rooted theological imagination.
Now, I love that I don't feel like I have to do what anybody else is doing.
Well, if Jesus started a church in our town, what would he do?
Some excerpts from a video produced by Transform, a missional community formation network. They hosted an emerging church conference, East Coast Gathering on Missional Community Formation. And our good friend Chris Roseborough went to the conference, as he has to many emergent church conferences. We're going to be talking a bit about this conference. What are those who are pursuing the emergent church looking for? Bottom line, I hear the language, the jargon. There's a lot of talk about conversation and community. And community, by the way, is a good thing. It is a good thing. And many people are looking for a community when they look for a church, perhaps a result of coming from a generation of broken families seeking to replace the extended family. What are the emergents looking for? We're going to be talking about that with Chris Roseborough here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, May the 3rd. After our conversation with Chris, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson today. Jesus will teach us to pray. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. In the second hour of the program, we'll start off talking about Athanasius. Dr. Carl Beckwith of Beeson Divinity School will be our guest. You got to go all the way back to the 4th century for Athanasius, and yet this is a man whose theology is still strongly influential and still, for some reason, crazy enough, debated. And then Mary Eberstadt of the Hoover Institute will join us to talk about the new atheism. She's author of a new book called The Loser Letters, A Comic Tale of Life, Death, and Atheism. 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest, host of a daily internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith. He attended this weekend's Emergent Church Conference. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
What are folks in the Emergent Church movement looking for?
They don't know it, but what they're really looking for is absolution. What they're really looking for is to know that they're okay with God, or that God is okay with them. They found a funny way to find it, but that's really what they're looking for.
What do you mean by that?
Well, one of the things that really is obvious when you get to know people who are in the emergent conversation is that there's a kind of a profile that they fall into, and oddly enough, I actually fit the profile. The profile is somebody who has tried legalistic, pietistic fundamentalism and basically said, I can't do it, I can't pull it off, and as a result of it has become deeply suspicious and doubtful that that's even Christianity, and they still are haunted by Jesus in some way or another. And so what the emergents have done is that they've kind of collected together around their doubt. They're a community that has as its center the common ground that's between them all, is that they doubt. That's their big thing. They're not a community of faith. They're a community of doubt. And really what they're looking for is they're looking for the thing that was withheld from them in legalistic fundamentalism, and that was the forgiveness of sins. It never really got applied to them, and as a result of it, they like many others, including myself, spent a time trying to pull it off, trying to please God, trying to put the facade forward that they were somehow managing their life properly and managing their sin properly, and that God was pleased with them because they got rid of their secular music and they were only listening to Christian music, or they, you know, they were pro-life and all these other things, and they put forward the brave front, basically thinking that they were pleasing God by it. And the problem is that ends up collapsing on itself at one point or another. And in their sense, they feel deeply betrayed, and they feel that what they were experiencing was not authentic Christianity, and they're right. But the problem is that their solution is inauthentic as the problem that they're fleeing.
So these are the refugees from pop American Christianity and kind of soft serve fundamentalism.
Yeah, absolutely they are. In fact, in physics, they say that there's, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. The emergent church is the equal and opposite reaction to legalistic evangelicalism.
So, and I think they're right when they say it. I was watching the video from Transform, this network of emergent types. They say, one of them rightly says, we are the last stop for many people on their way out of Christianity. And I know you would agree there. How do we in Orthodox, reformational, confessional Christianity snag them, reach out to them so that they don't go down the blind alley of emergence?
I'm going to say something radical here. Show up at the conferences, become part of the conversation. What's seriously missing at these conversations are people who know about Christ and Him crucified for our sins, know the biblical gospel, who know that legalistic fundamentalism is not biblical Christianity, and are there to apply the salve of Christ's forgiveness and to offer absolution to people who desperately need it. I mean, Christ said to us, go into all the world and proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins. I think that means showing up at places where you can be part of the conversation and be there representing Christ in the biblical gospel.
Many people took a first or a second look at the emergent movement with its kind of primary, that is, the first in line, bright lights like Brian McLaren, and like saw what it was, that it was really kind of liberalism 2.0, as you have put it, and declared it dead on arrival and said, look, this thing has already just barely emerged and it's already on its way out. Is that true? Is emergent dead?
Well, if it's dead, then I spent the weekend with, you know, 500 or 600 people who never got that memo. You know, no, it's not dead. I would say that it's in the process of changing, because change is one of the constants in the movement. And what it was 5 years ago is not what it is today, and what it is today is not what's going to be 5, 10 years from now. That being the case, it's far from dead. It's a safe place for people who are on their way out of Christianity to have a stop by and try to see if they can't salvage some kind of a Christianist spirituality. And you know, and keep some semblance of religion and some eye towards the God that they've come to believe in, but it's not dead by any stretch of the imagination. If that were the case, then, you know, I'd be writing that it's dead, it's over. You know, I was just at the conference. Everyone's, you know, hang it up. It's the party's over. But far from it. I think the thing's actually gathering steam.
Okay, you have read the books, you've talked to the principal persons, you have been to more conferences than I couldn't do it, Chris, but you've been there. What new thing did you learn in this latest one that you didn't know about emergent?
Well, the new thing really is that there are some in the movement who are trying to move beyond doubt. What's happened is that the people who've been in the movement really from the beginning, say for the past 10 to 12 years, some of them are basically saying, listen, we've become really good at deconstructing everything and basically applying acid to everything. And the one thing that has been the hallmark of the emergent church from the beginning is that it has no positive theology of its own. And instead, it just destroys theologies, it destroys meta-narratives, and there's attempts now by some of the leaders who've been around for a while to construct some kind of a positive theology. I attended a breakout session hosted by a guy by the name of Jonathan Brink, and Jonathan, you know, he actually in his speech tried to posit a new theory of the atonement. Now, the funny thing was is that he was shot down, and actually some of the people there were very upset by what he was saying. And one of them said, listen, we've gone through all of this just to have you now create a new theory of the atonement and a new meta-narrative. I thought that we had gotten to the point now where we don't have to preach anything. And so there's some tension that's going on because I think some of the older voices, as they're maturing, are realizing that they can't continue in this state of just nothing but doubt, and they're trying to do something positive and trying to move towards something a little bit different, but there's still real resistance and suspicion within the movement because the whole thing is predicated on postmodern deconstructionist doubt.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about, and we can do this when we come back from our break, there are the genuine emergents. And if you read their books, you will see that it is, I think the old liberals used to call it the hermeneutic of suspicion, but it's just that repackage when it comes to how you deal with the Bible. They will tell you, we take the Bible seriously, but they mean that in a qualified way, I think. They don't take it seriously the way that classical Orthodox Christianity takes the Bible seriously. But then there are also those who are, I guess, in my opinion, playing emergent. I'm talking about people in mainline denominations, maybe even in pop American non-denominationalism, who see an emergence, kind of a niche there, and then they like the trappings of emergence. They like the coffee house. They like the couches. They like the kind of too cool for school dress and the, I guess, for lack of a better word, throwback to the hipster or the beatnik style, and they introduce it and think, you know, all we got to do is have the trappings of emergence with a little bit of Orthodox Christianity, and we'll meet the needs of those who are fleeing pop American Christianity. I don't know. It looks a little silly to me. When we come back, we'll talk more with Chris Roseborough about the emergent church. He's host of a daily internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Emergent Church with Chris Roseborough, who has attended a number of conferences centering around emergent theology. The latest in Washington, D.C. this weekend called Transform, East Coast Gathering on Missional Community Formation. Chris, before we go on to talk about the conference again and what you found there, what do you make of those kind of inside mainline denominationalism or mainline non-denominationalism who are playing emergent? They like the look, the feel, the smell, the sound of emergent, but they're not willing to go all the way into that hermeneutic of suspicion or skepticism. They think they can meld the two, kind of emergent style versus substance.
Yeah, those guys, I think they're approaching emergent as some kind of a market segment subgroup to, you know, that they want to hit target market, you know, reach out to in the kind of a marketing kind of way. And the reality is that those people who are truly emergent, they can smell those guys out quicker than you can say, you know, candles and incense, because they're not authentic, they're not real. They're basically just trying to sell them something, and they think that if they can look hip and look cool, wear the square glasses, and talk about tattoos and whiskey, that somehow that makes them appealing to the emergent subset. Those people don't even understand. They're clueless as to what emergent really is.
What have become of the initial bright lights of emergent, Brian McLaren and others?
Brian McLaren, I got to tell you, he's different than the other emergent guys. And I hate to say it, but the guy is a master deceiver, and I think he knows what he's up to. He's written a book called A New Kind of Christianity, and he basically tries to deconstruct every pillar of the historic Christian faith and build a brand new meta-narrative that rather than man falling into sin and needing to be rescued and atoned for by Christ's death on the cross, instead man has been progressing forward in a positive way, and that somehow we need to build the kingdom of God here on earth. My characterization of McLaren is that he sees the emergent church movement really as kind of a recruiting ground for mainline denominational liberal denominations that are dying. I think that's how he sees it, and he's kind of their Pied Piper.
Now, you said before that the emergents have essentially gone from frying pan to fire, traded one false form of Christianity for another false form of Christianity. Mm-hmm. Those two forms, what do they have in common? What are different about them?
Great question. Okay, the emergents, they've traded in one form of legalistic pietism for another form of legalistic pietism. In both cases, the issue is, what do I have to do? That's the big question. In legalistic fundamentalism, the thing you have to do is you have to live a morally upstanding life. You can't smoke, you can't dance, you can't drink alcohol, you can only watch approved movies and things like that, kind of a blue law type of thing. In the emergent church, all of that's gone. It's okay for you to dance, smoke, chew, drink, your sexuality is not a big issue, but you still have to do something, and that is that you have to participate with God and be a co-creator of the kingdom of God here on earth. So you need to be active in reaching out to the poor. You have to be active in reaching out to those who are outcast, to the disenfranchised, involved in social justice. So what's happened is that both groups have a list of moral things that you're supposed to do. The one will make you feel like a sinner for being immoral. The other will make you feel like a sinner for not being a humanitarian. In both cases, you're still dealing with a works-based religion, and what both of them are missing is absolution. They're missing the forgiveness of sins, and they've created religions. One's a little bit nicer to people who know that they're screwed up, and another is... Yeah, it's this craziness, but both of them, they're two sides of the exact same coin, but it's the same coin.
Frank in Cary, Illinois, emails us. He says, Chris, it appears the emergent movement is evolving into something. And if so, what do you see as their final metamorphosis or ending? Does their evolution explain their integration of things from various sources, mysticism, other universal or secular ideas?
Okay, that's a great question. It is moving towards something, and where it's moving towards is actually not a positive thing. First of all, you have to kind of understand what it is, and let me kind of foil it this way. In the American evangelicalism, what you basically have is what I call charismatic Mormonism. It's a legalistic religion that's supposed to be informed directly by the Spirit without the Word of God. And their leaders have overdosed on MBA books from Peter Drucker. In the emergent church, what you're dealing with kind of categorically is agnostic mysticism, and it's actually moving towards something, and it's a cocktail between evolutionary theory, Hegelian philosophy, Soren Kierkegaardian existentialism, and Heidegger-esque irrational philosophy. And the reality is that there have been historical movements like this in the past with almost the same combination, and eventually where this ends up heading is the creation of some kind of a political religion along the lines of fascism or something. That's actually how this thing degenerates, and you'll eventually get people who will say, listen, let's stop talking about building the kingdom of God, and let's get serious and put some muscle behind it. So historically, these types of movements, as liberalism degenerates into these different forms, eventually lead to the creation of a political religion.
What did you hear about Jesus in D.C. this weekend?
Very little.
Really?
Very, very, very little. I mean, I heard about Jesus as little as I do at a purpose-driven conference. It's that bad. And basically, these people are just rolling their own theology and smoking it. That's what they're doing. And Jesus gets honorable mentions, because we know that Jesus hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners, but that's pretty much about the extent of what I heard about Jesus the whole two days of the conference.
You mentioned before a guy kind of spinning a new theory of the atonement and got booed down. Do you remember what the theory was?
Yeah, the theory is pretty simple. It's that man has forgotten God's original judgment in the Garden of Eden, that what he created in us was very good, and as a result, we now believe a lie about ourselves that we're evil, and his new theory of the atonement is that basically we need to get back to that proper mental mindset that we're good in God's eyes and that we're all part of the kingdom. So it's kind of I told him, I said it's the Stuart Smalley theory of the atonement, because basically I have just come to realize that I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn, God loves me. And he said, well, that's okay if you want to believe that.
And where did Jesus fit into that?
Because Jesus' death on the cross showed us that we were worth it.
Well, that's a long ways to go to show someone that you're worth it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what are they missing? If you would have had a chance to take the mic for a half hour, mm-hmm, to address those 500 in D.C. who are the hardcore emergents, and, I mean, time to prepare, obviously, Chris, what would you say?
I would take them to the passages where Jesus not only hung out with prostitutes and sinners, but openly said that he forgave their sins. Because what the emergents are doing is they're suppressing particular portions of Scripture. Those Scriptures have to do with the wrath of God and his law and his judgment. Legalists suppress the gospel. They suppress the law. And I would take them back to the passages, and I would be careful, because all of them have been hurt by the law to such a degree that what they really need is the gospel. But they need to hear that Christ died for their sins and that Jesus does love them and died for them. They need to be absolved. I mean, seriously, next June they're going to be doing an event that they're calling it the Emergent Burning Man. And people are going to be camping out at this thing. And I'm seriously thinking about going and setting up a confessional and inviting Swirla and a few other pastors to set up some confessionals there for people can come and confess their sins and be absolved. These guys need to hear that Christ died for their sins, their specific sins. They have been living in torment under the withering effects of the law without hearing about the forgiveness of sins for them, and they really, really need to hear it.
Real quick question. If someone listening to us says, the congregation that I attend has been kind of flirting with some of the stuff, how would they know one point whether or not their church is flirting with the emergent idea?
Has it become a place where doubt seems to be the thing that you're left with, where stories and historic Christian ideas and doctrines are being deconstructed and nothing's being constructed in its place? And at the end of it, you're left basically in this tension of going, well, what do I do or what do I believe now? If that's what's going on, then your pastor is flirting with postmodernity and emergent deconstructionism.
Finally, then, with only about 20 seconds, I assume you'll be talking more about this weekend's emergent conference on your show today, Fighting for the Faith?
Yes, I will be talking about it on today's show, as well as I'm going to try to invite some of the people I met onto my program in the days ahead, because I think some of these folks have some very good stories that need to be told, because, you know, a lot of people don't realize is that they are the natural byproduct of an abusive fundamentalism that, you know, when pastors who refuse to give the forgiveness of sins to people, and I think that story needs to be told.
Folks, you can listen to Fighting for the Faith right after Issues, Etc. today at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, as we do every week. Today, Jesus is going to teach us to pray, even as he taught his disciples to pray when they came to him saying, Lord, teach us to pray. What did he do? He didn't give them a how-to. He just did it. We'll talk more about that after this. If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kishnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Here's a special offer for Issues, Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Maybe you're a fan of American Idol. Personally, I reserve most of my TV time for news and NASCAR. This program recently aired Idol Gives Back, a fundraising campaign. This year, funds from viewers went to Save the Children and the United Nations. Great, you say? Not so fast. Both these groups support abortion and other pro-abortion organizations. This includes groups like Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest chain of abortion mills. Others are the Center for Reproductive Rights, a pro-abortion legal group, and UNICEF, also pro-abortion. Viewers who give to this glamorous annual fundraising event are supporting their global abortion on demand agenda. In this case, the bad overrides the good they do. If you're a fan of American Idol, I wouldn't give to this event.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.